We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway. LaVine. Zach LaVine.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell, as always. I'm here with Jason Pat. Jason, the Bulls season is finally over. Bulls end the year last night with a 118-112 victory over the Milwaukee Bucks. That was a totally garbage game on both sides. Neither team was particularly trying to win, but the Bulls do come away with the win. They end the season at 31-41 on the year, Jason. The Bulls have the 21st best offense. They had the 12th best defense, and they were 20th in net rating. So that's where they were this year as a team that was slightly below average net rating, below average point differential. Mostly the Bulls were just not a great team, but it does seem like it's trending maybe in somewhat of a positive direction at least.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Obviously, you mentioned the Bucks game. I guess technically we'll bring up that the Bulls were officially eliminated. What was that, Friday night? The Wizards eliminated them, and the Bulls had two games left. I think that was the last time we did a pod. It was right before the Wizards-Cavs game. The Bulls lost to the Nets. The Bulls were actually trying in that. I think we're trying in that game, right? I don't know. Zach didn't play. Vooch didn't play. They weren't trying in that game at all. Who am I kidding? That was the other Nets game. And, yeah, the Bucks game last night was absolutely awful. You talked about how like that neither team was really trying to win. The Bulls, it seemed like, were actually kind of trying to win. Like, Thad Young and Kobe White both played 30 minutes. Why? I don't really know. As, like, everyone was noticing, like, I mean, or noting, the win did hurt them in, when it came to the lottery odds. They went from 26.3% to now they're a three-way tie with the Kings and Pelicans because those teams both lost. Now they're all at right around 20%. I think it's like 20.3%, something like that. So the Bulls winning, beating the Bucks, who I think like last minute basically scratched all their starters because once the Nets clinched the two seed, Bucks were like, fuck this, we're done, we're not playing any of our good players. So they put out a garbage starting lineup. But the Bulls started Thad, they started Kobe, they started Garrett Temple, they started Lowry, I think, and Patrick Williams. So they put out like a respectable lineup, and they closed with those guys too. And they like all the starters played 30 minutes. I don't really know. I'm very stupid. And they won the game, and they hurt their lottery odds, which I thought was pretty dumb, like whatever, 6%. I know we said we didn't want to do any tanking, but I thought last night was a time where they should have tried to lose that game. On the other hand, it also did not help that Ryan Arcidiacono hit four fucking three-pointers after hitting like four three-pointers all season. He hit three in a row at one point. Ridiculous. I guess if there was one positive from the Bucks game, we got some Devon Dotson minutes, and he looked pretty good. Good for him. I think he had a three-pointer. I believe he scored in double digits, had some nice drives to the basket. So finally got to see Devon Dotson with some extended play time. I wish he would have – he probably should have started last night and given him, like, closing minutes. But at least he looked pretty good. Obviously, the game, like you said, was just garbage. It was a miserable experience basically from the very start of the game. And now the season is over. 31-41, I believe – I can't remember exactly what their season odds were. Were they, like, right at 30? I know I made a bet with a friend that right at 30 wins, and I said they'd go over, so I technically won my bet to get to 31. Woohoo! They were right around there, though, right? Like 29-30?
Yeah, what I remember seeing was a bet on just winning percentage, and it was at 40.5%. And the Bulls, I think, ended up winning 43% of their games.
There you go. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, obviously disappointing after you make these trades. I think the Bulls, again, as we've said, they've made those trades. They made the trades for Vucevic. You get Daniel Theis, Troy Brown Jr. I think they fully thought that they were going to make this play-in tournament. It's pretty definitely disappointing, and they all admitted it. I mean, Zach did it. A bunch of guys talked today, AK, Billy, Vooch, Zach talked. All these guys talked in the last couple of days, and they all admitted that they were disappointed, and they thought that they were, after those trades, they were in a position to make the play-in, and they really should have. I mean, you go all in for another All-Star like that. Like I said, I think they were five games under 500 at the time when they made that trade. So after the deadline, they go five games under again. Basically, just like they just didn't make any improvements. Obviously, there were some weird circumstances. You have the stuff right after the trade where you're on a West Coast trip, brutal schedule there, and you're working guys in, no practice time. And then Zach misses 11 games with COVID. If he doesn't do that, what happens there? Of course, other teams are dealing with all this kind of stuff too. Other teams are missing their own guys. Bulls got some wins because of that as well. So they're all playing on the same level playing field. So it is definitely disappointing that the Bulls did not make this play-in tournament. Obviously, we're now hoping for these lottery odds, 20.3% to keep that pick in the top four. I think it's like 4 or 5% to get the number one pick. I do have some level of optimism moving forward with Vooch and Zach. Get an offseason, get some new players in here, get a full training camp with Billy Donovan, just a normal season next year, hopefully, where there's not the schedule isn't as jammed in. You have more time to practice and get stuff ready. And you hope guys stay healthy and you don't have guys missing time for COVID and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully next year will be better. I said, I think, last pod that I'm expecting low to mid-40s wins, and maybe if everything goes right, they even do better than that. Again, they'll have moves to make. AK did talk today, gave an end-of-season just kind of update. He didn't really say much of anything. He obviously said he was disappointed. He kind of deflected stuff about Zach extension stuff. Well, obviously, we can talk about that more in a bit. He talked about Lowry. He said he likes Lowry. I mean, that's, I think he's lip service. I think we both think Lowry's gone. I think most people think he's gone. AK basically just said much of nothing. I mean, and whenever he's talked, he said basically nothing. Like, just pure executive speak. You really don't put much into it. We didn't see the Vucevic trade coming. I think we both think that that they're going to make some big moves. Or at least they're going to turn over some more of this roster, because after a disappointment, I think they feel some urgency with Zach's free agency coming up. They know they need to get better. Especially in the East, when you have the Nets there and you have the Sixers there and you have the Bucks there, you have some really good teams there at the top. The Bulls know they have to be better. So I do think that they do feel some urgency to get things better. And I am semi-optimistic about next season's team, even though we don't know what moves that they're going to make.
Looking at the roster, how many spots do you think turn over next year? I mean, you can go down the list. Felicio's deal finally expiring.
That's right.
Felicio, what was he making, over $8 million a year?
Around there.
For 4 years. Somehow finishes the season on the roster. I feel like he's just totally unforgivable by the Bulls.
And very strange.
It's one thing that, you know, we want to be really excited about the fact that Garpax isn't around anymore, but something like that is just classic Garpax mindset, I feel like. Just like letting roster spots at the end of the roster totally burn. So that was one thing that really disappointed me. But if nothing else, you know, salute to Felicio for getting all of his money. Where do you think he plays next? Like, there's no way he's going to get another NBA deal.
He'll go to Europe. He's what, from Brazil,
he's
right?
Brazilian, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go somewhere else. He's not getting another NBA contract, obviously. God only knows. He'll play somewhere. I mean, he plays internationally. I feel like he's played on the Brazilian national team. He's big body. He's still relatively young. He can go play overseas somewhere, go back home and play or something like that. But thank God he's not on the roster. Yeah, I think we had talked about this another time. Like, I mean, do we think that was an ownership edict? Like, you're not going to buy this guy. It's not like the Bulls are in the luxury tax. Like, they were, I believe, under the cap line or around there. It's not like they weren't, like, they're literally all just buy a guy like that out. I mean, we saw teams buying out, like, much bigger names, and obviously those are different situations. They want to go somewhere else, and Felicio wouldn't go anywhere else in the NBA once the Bulls bought him up. And it's like, are they just like doing him a favor to like keep him on the NBA roster for the rest of the year? But that's just like, it's a terrible use of your roster. Like, you can't be doing favors like that for bums. Like, as much as like Felicio seems like a nice guy, it's like, yeah, why the hell was he on this team? Like, because all the talk like before the deadline was, oh, well, he could be like a trade chip, $8 million, whatever he was making. You could use him in a trade. Trade deadline passing, he's still on the roster. He should have been gone the next day. I mean, and you bring in, you try somebody else. I mean, you've seen other teams bring in kind of guys that I know it could be hit or miss. And a lot of times you bring in guys off the street and they don't do anything. But sometimes you do. I mean, the Nets, obviously that's the Nets. A good, they could bring in a good player like that.
There's been a bunch of these guys around the league all year. There's been a ton of late season signings. The Raptors got Freddie Gillespie. Yeah. Nets got Mike James. Someone potentially could have helped the Bulls. The Nuggets got Austin Rivers. So there were teams making moves around the margins.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire end of the regular season, the Bulls didn't do it. You can put Ryan Arcidiacono in there, too. They actually have a $3 million team option for him next year. But I think finally, mercifully, Arch will be gone. Denzel, he's got to be gone. Just there's like, and then, you know, obviously this discussion turns to Markkanen, who, as you alluded to, the Bulls keep saying publicly that they view him as part of the team long term, but it's hard to believe that given sort of how his role changed as this year went on, and that, you know, as we've talked about repeatedly on this podcast, he just hasn't gotten better in 4 years. So it's hard to see Markkanen as part of the team's offseason plans long term. So that's another roster spot. So I think we should be looking at, what do you think, five roster spots?
At least
going into next year.
I mean, the legit keepers, I mean, it's really Zach Vooch and Patrick Williams. I think you could cut maybe Kobe. I know we've talked about like maybe being 50-50 and if Kobe's there. I would still think he's relatively safe. I mean, again, we both think that if you look for a trade, you could look for a trade for him if you want. I think you'd have to find something really good for him. I don't want to just like dunk Kobe White. But so that's four. I mean, and then, I mean, Thad and Sato, obviously they have the partially guaranteed deals. If they want to look for to open cap space, like those are guys who could be cap casualties. Daniel Tice, we've talked about, like he might go somewhere else for more money. Who else? Garrett Temple's going to be a free agent again. I would bring back Garrett Temple for cheap. I know he dropped off a decent amount after a really hot start of the season, but like, that's a valuable vet guy. Like, you don't want him playing – like, he was playing too many minutes on the Bulls. If he's like your 10th guy, like, that's fine. Who else? We got Javonte Green, another guy. He could be like end-of-bench energy guy. But, again, he's also – he's a nothing. Like he's an energy guy. It's like if you want to turn that over to
contract going into next season either.
Right. Yeah. And like,
we want to see Dotson, and we were hoping that like, Dotson could have been part of the team this year. He's obviously super young in his early 20s, so he could be someone with the organization long term. But if I'm Dotson, why would I re-sign with the Bulls? Like Billy Donovan gave him no chance to prove himself. He played players that I'm sure Dotson thinks were inferior ahead of him the entire season. So I do think there's like part of this Bulls fan base that like still sort of views Dotson as like maybe a potential piece. Everyone really wanted to see him this year, but I bet he's gone, man. I just don't think the Bulls gave him any incentive to return next year.
It was funny listening to the broadcast last night because like Stacey and Adam were like just they kept like hyping up all these guys, and it's like all these guys are like, oh, that could be a key rotation piece next year. It's like, man, if these guys were actually good, the Bulls would have been better this year. But, I mean, honestly, there's maybe like four or five safe guys. And, again, maybe even that's a lot. Like, I would love to keep Thad. I mean, Thad was awesome this year. Shout out to Thad Young for having a career season at, 32, 33 years old. I think he's $6 million guaranteed on his $14 million. It's something like that. Obviously, if there's an opportunity to bring in a better player, long-term option, and you have to get rid of Thad Young, you'd do it. It'd be nice to trade him and get something for him. But obviously, I would like to keep him. I think if you're trying to make the playoffs next year, Thad Young would be a great guy to have off your bench. Sato, I'm not as high. I mean, Sato had like an okay year. I feel like you look at his shooting numbers; they were pretty good this year. He's just too many times he's too invisible and just like he's a fine bench guy to have. But again, like if you need to clear some space to bring somebody in, I mean, I have no problems ditching Sato. I mentioned Temple already. Tice, we obviously talked about. You mentioned Denzel. I think Denzel's done. I mean, he was awful this year. He like got off to an okay start. If you look at Denzel's shooting numbers, he shot like 36% overall this year, and it was like 32% from three. He was not good. Like after his hot start, he was really, really bad. I do not think they should bring him back. I think it'll be a lot of turnover. I'm coming back to Lowry again. I was tweeting about Lowry earlier today because just after seeing the quotes. And I know that was a talking point. He did an interview as well with Casey Johnson, just talking about how he wants to go test that restricted free agency market. He thinks he can still be a focal point of a team. I mean, I'm just reading this stuff, and it's like he wants to go get paid somewhere. I just don't see how the Bulls can do it. I mean, I just don't see. You mentioned the role changing. Like he's a bench guy at this point. Like it's so weird because I tweeted this. He shot 40% from three this year. Like he did improve his 3-point shooting this season, his overall efficiency, but just like it felt like he got a lot worse as an overall player. Like. It's just the overall production wasn't there. The rebounding sucked. The defense sucked. The playmaking isn't there. Just he basically turned into a spot up shooter. And like while there is value in that, and like I think he'll have a decent career because of that shooting. Like with the situation the Bulls are in, they just aren't in a position where they could invest those resources in him. Because if you keep him around, like where else are you making changes? If you're not signing and trading him, or if you're not letting him go to create cap space, like. What the hell are you doing with the roster then? Again, you can make moves, I guess, with Thad and Sato or maybe Kobe. But, like, someone asked me, like, what do you think Lowry's market is this offseason? Like, what is someone going to give Lowry? Like, do you think there would be a point where, like, he would take, like, the qualifying offer, which I think for him is, like, $8 or $9 million, something like that? Like, what do you think, like, someone's going to give him in restricted free agency?
I have no idea. I mean, probably there are a lot of teams with money this year, so I would guess – 14, 15, like 15 million at least, wouldn't you think? Like if I put the over under at 15.5 million, would you take the over or the under annual?
I kind of think it's under. I mean, maybe just the shooting, maybe that 3-point shooting and his overall percentages will have someone. I mean, he's still just 23. It's just, we've seen it just up close, just saw him mostly stagnate outside of the 3-point shooting this year. And again, by the end of the year, like, he was having so many just dud games and just, like, no impact when games actually mattered. So it was just, like, just not an impact guy. I mean, maybe there is still something in there for him, but it's just, like, I wouldn't want to be – I mean, maybe if you have money and, like, you need shooting, someone will give him a big contract.
Could it be similar to, like, what Kelly Oubre signed? Oubre signed 2 years, $30 million. Where it's a young guy who, like, probably wants to establish himself, get back on the market in a couple of years and sign a bigger deal, but he still has, like, some latent upside from his draft pedigree where you still got to give him a pretty decent annual contract. So I could see something like that.
I could see a shorter-term deal maybe with that kind of money. I couldn't admit, like, someone brought, like, in my Twitter mention, someone brought up, like, giving him like 4 years, $60 million. I just like I can't see someone making that kind of commitment to him right now. Just he hasn't shown enough to do it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe someone will. I mean, some teams can get crazy. I feel like teams have been somewhat smarter. I mean, some of the extensions of other guys we saw sign last year obviously have kind of come back to bite them with injury wise. Like what did OG and like Isaac get last year? 480, 470, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but like. I mean, Bertans was obviously one of the comps, and he got 580, and, like, I mean, that's probably not great. That won't turn out great. You know, the Wizards didn't
I mean, Bertans was coming off a way better year than
he was.
Coming off. So
and he's just a better shooter in general. Like, I know Lowry shot 40% from three this year, but, like, Bertans can, like, shoot, like, crazy off the move.
Movement shooter, yeah. He's a movement shooter at a level that marketing can't compare to. You want to go over some of the Bulls' sort of options this offseason, because I feel like – what's interesting about the Bulls' position is that they have a lot of very obvious needs on the roster. They don't really have a ton of flexibility in terms of how they're going to solve everything. Cap space projections, like obviously it's complicated because of several team options and just general cap holds, but isn't it like, do you have any number in mind of how much cap space the Bulls are going to have going
from
into
what I remember, I don't have these numbers in front of me. From what I remember seeing, like, you can get up to, like, maybe $30 million, but that's, like, clearing out, I think, Thad
and Sato.
Thad, Sato probably dumping Lowry's cap. Lowry's cap hold, I think, is $20 million, which is huge. Again, which another reason why I think, I mean, I'd almost consider just pulling it, not even giving him a qualifying offer and just letting him hit unrestricted free agency. Although I know, ideally, again, maybe you sign and trade, I think is probably the ideal with Lowry, so you can get something back for him. But, yeah, I think, like, if you ditch a bunch of guys, you can, like, get up to $30 million. Like, what would you use that for? Again, I mean, there's Kyle Lowry's out there, and we've talked about other guys. Spencer Dinwiddie, Lonzo's obviously going to be out there.
And then, like, they can also operate as an above the cap.
They could, yeah. Yeah, right. They can keep Lowry's cap hold on there. They keep these other guys. Again, and then that you can sign and trade Lowry somewhere. Maybe you trade Thad or Sad or something like that for somebody else.
You can't sign Lonzo to a big offer sheet.
No, right. Yeah, I mean, and like at this point, I think Lonzo for Lowry is absolutely dead. I mean, Lonzo is just a much better player. You're not going to trade like a first rounder? I mean, I don't know why the Pelicans would do it. Like, why would the Pelicans want Lowry at this point? I don't really I feel like Lonzo makes sense playing next to Zion. So like, I just don't see why they do that unless the Bulls like really. Really gave them something great, but the Bulls are out a couple draft picks right now, so like I don't really see how they can spice things up to like still make that happen. I think Lonzo is just a much better player at this point, so like I feel like that's probably dead. If you do operate above the cap, of course, that does keep the mid-level exception open, which I think is about $9 million a year, so that is helpful. If you go under the cap, you do also have the room exception, which I think is like $5 or $6 million. So there are still exceptions you can use to fill out with like smaller pieces, whether you go under the cap, whether you stay above the cap. So it will be very interesting to see which direction they go. Like, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they operated above the cap and you try to trade Lowry somewhere. Maybe you make other moves because in terms of free agency, it's Lonzo. It's who else have we talked? We talked about Lowry. We talked about Dinwiddie. You could possibly also trade those, use other guys.
Mike Conley. But, yeah, I mean, there's guys out there. There's guys out there that you get. But, I just go back to the trade deadline when no one could have guessed either of those two moves, right? Like, both the Vucevic trade and then the multiplayer deal that sent out Gafford and Hutchinson. You get back Tice. You get back Troy Brown. There was no, like, smoke out there about either of those trades. So, I remember when the Bulls hired Karnas Chovas, I thought the biggest area of improvement he could have on the organization is an ability to improve the roster via trades, because Garpax just never made any trades. If they were to operate as an above-the-cap team, that could be something pretty interesting, because, you know, we've just been talking about these same names who are free agents for so long, but, there's potentially a ton of different options. If they're just going to try to pry a guy who, you know, a team is trying to unload. But like you said, the Bulls don't really have a ton of assets. I mean, they just traded the two first-round picks. We're talking about how marketing doesn't have much value anymore. So your most valuable assets outside of Vooch and LaVine, who are going to be your building blocks, is going to be Patrick Williams or maybe Coby White. It would be interesting to see what Coby White's value is. League-wide, he's probably still, their second biggest trade chip after Patrick Williams. So they're in a really interesting spot because they have a ton of needs, they don't have much flexibility, and they're really going to need to get creative. So if Karnas Chovas went into his first offseason with a totally hands-off approach, he really just wanted to, like, wait and see, then we saw that he made dramatic changes to the roster at the trade deadline, I would expect that this is going to be another offseason where he's making a ton of trades. And quite frankly, he has to, because the roster he inherited had a ton of problems. The Bulls, part of the reason why they missed the play-in tournament wasn't just because of all the misfortune they had in the second half of the season, like LaVine's ankle injury, his COVID absence, but also the fact that they didn't touch the roster coming into the season at all. They could have been better at the start of the season if they would have, turned over the roster more quickly instead of trying to do it on the fly in the middle of the season. So that's what I'm most excited in, Jace, is just seeing what Karnas Chovas can do on the trade market.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So here's the not something for you. Long fan post over at Bloggable by a longtime commenter, Mike DC. I don't know if you saw this at all.
Everything this guy writes is must read.
Yeah. His suggestion is offering up Patrick Williams as a centerpiece in a trade for OG Anunoby. Would you do that?
I would have to, you know, delve more into Anunoby, but yeah, I've always been high on Anunoby. I think that potentially, but like also Michael Pino was on our podcast and he was talking about Patrick Williams being the centerpiece for Siakam.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have Siakam than Anunoby. I do think Anunoby's pretty awesome, and Anunoby would be a perfect fit next to LaVine and Vucevic. Like, you basically need defenders on the level of Anunoby. Maybe Patrick Williams is a somewhat similar archetype, right? So like, yeah, maybe he could get there. But just in my eye test of it, I would say that Anunoby is a significantly more agile and impactful perimeter defender.
Yeah.
Whereas Pat's biggest strengths defensively lie near the rim. Pat is kind of a liability defending on the perimeter. I think that he's gotten better from where he was at in Florida State, but that's why the Kawhi comps never really made sense to me, because Kawhi's like the best perimeter defender of the generation, right? And Pat, you know, I guess you could say he has some obvious physical similarities with Kawhi, just in terms of size and weight to an extent. But, we don't know Pat's wingspan. I don't think he didn't get measured before the draft.
I don't know if I ever.
You know, Kawhi's like, what, a 7'4", 7'3"?
Like the biggest hands in the league.
The biggest hands in the league, right. So, Patrick Williams is their biggest trade chip, man. And they're going to have to get creative somehow. So that's going to be one thing that's going to be very, very interesting to watch over the offseason is, does he get flipped? Does Kobe get flipped? Who's all coming back? What do you think of a possible LaVine extension? Because that's going to be – that was also in the news today. LaVine commented on it at the postmortem press conference. And it's going to be a huge talking point. So do you want to sort of go through some of the options that LaVine could have, or just give a brief overview?
Right, yeah. So, like, the base extension that they can give is only like 4 years, I think 105, 106 million. He's not taking that. Obviously, he shouldn't take it. That's bullshit. That's just league rules. Basically, that's the most the Bulls can offer him. He's not taking it. If the Bulls operate as a cap space team, they can use cap space to renegotiate and extend his contract and give him like a $30 million deal extension for like 3 or 4 years, I believe. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but that's the gist of it. They can use cap space to give him more of a like a max level offer. I think there was also like, if you would have made all NBA this team, I think that would also have an impact on what they could possibly extend him for, but he's not going to. He's not going to be a top 15 guy. I mean, he had a great season. We haven't even said it. Shout out to Zach LaVine for having the best season of his career. He was absolutely awesome. It was a real shame that he missed those 11 games with COVID, but Zach was truly a pleasure to watch this season, scoring the ball. He was just awesome. I mean, just so getting buckets all the time. I know he still has his flaws. We have always questioned how good he can be as like a top guy. Still don't know if he can actually be like top alpha guy on a championship team, but he is definitely way better than I ever thought he was going to be. So a salute to Zach LaVine just in general for that. Back to the contract stuff. I think Zach's going to look for as much money as he can. And he basically came out and said that said that today at his press conference. Said like he's going to go try to get the money that he deserves, that he knows that he can deserve. They kind of deflected the stuff about the extension stuff in general, but he basically just said like, you know, he's on like a bargain deal right now, and he should go get paid like he deserves, and that I feel like it would make more sense for him to wait until unrestricted free agency in 2022. He could potentially get a 5-year, like $200 million deal. I do think that there's a chance. I believe if he like made all NBA next season, I think that would give him the possibility of the 35% max deal, like thing of the cap. I'm not totally sure. I'd have to really brush up on some of those rules, but like, I feel like it just makes more sense for him to hit unrestricted free agency. I mean, I understand the idea of like locking yourself in and helping you, whatever, it's getting that security right now. But, I mean, he's what, 26 years old, he's coming off a career season. Like there's no reason to expect, unless obviously there's the injury factor, but like no reason to expect next season on a should be better Bulls team that he'll put up similar numbers. Hopefully maybe he won't shoot quite as well, but that he can have another big season and be in line for that huge max contract as an unrestricted free agent. I feel like he should go try to get all that money.
Yeah, so basically shoot for all NBA next season. It's possible if the Bulls improve the team to the point, you know, if they continue to make these aggressive moves, like obviously the Bulls are in win now mode, right? Like they traded the two picks for Vucevic. The Bulls are trying to do everything they can to win as many games as possible going into next year. That's obvious. So LaVine, hypothetically, if the team is, you know, the sixth seed in the playoffs or something, and they have this big improvement similar to the Hawks or the Knicks this season, I guess it's possible LaVine lands an all-NBA spot. It's just such a high bar, though. Like, when you go over the teams this year, like you basically have to be – like, Jimmy Butler had an incredible season. He missed a lot of games, but, you know, he's maybe going to be third-team All-NBA. So to be a top 15 player is a super high bar to clear. If Zach could get a 30% max contract, and annually, do you know about what that would start at per year? But a 30% max would be a huge payday, and to me, that wouldn't really seem like giving the Bulls a huge, huge break. It would just be a way to eliminate a lot of risk on his end. So I wouldn't be totally shocked if that happened, but, you know, I'm not sure if the Bulls want to do that right now either, just because they have so many other holes to fill.
Yeah, and again, like to do that, you have to use the cap, go with the cap space, right? So, like, would they do that to give them that 30% max with using the cap space? I mean, they'd have to open up a good amount to do that. I think it's like $14 million or something like that to get him up that high. Would they just be willing to take the chance of him making all NBA next year and getting up to 35%? Maybe. I mean, I feel like if they did do that and he was great next year, and they make the playoffs, I feel like they'd probably be happy to give him a 35%. I mean, it's obviously a bit more, but like he's one of your cornerstones in his prime. So like you'd think that whatever, like they'd be fine to take that chance. I don't know. But it will be very interesting. I mean, obviously, I think we're both on the – I mean, I guess we haven't even talked about – like, I think trading him is, like, completely off the table at this point. Like, I don't even know what you would trade him for.
You would have to get someone better then.
You're right, yeah. And, like, that's just not happening. I mean, and especially with Vucevic. I mean, they didn't trade for Vucevic to then go flip Zach LaVine unless you're getting, like, top 10 superstar. Like, we talked about, I think, Beal on our last one, and, like, there was the rumor about Bulls, like, going after Beal in 2022 when he's a free agent. Like, I probably wouldn't trade – I mean, would you trade, like – I mean, just, like, straight up. Would you trade Zach for Beal straight up right now? Like, Beal's probably, what, slightly better at this – like, a little bit better at this point? Like, I don't know how much better Beal is than Zach at this point. Like,
yeah, I mean, Beal had – yeah, they're pretty close for sure. Beal's 27, Zach's 26, so the age thing isn't a huge difference either, but Beal's actually about to turn 28. He's going to turn 28 at the end of June. So I don't know, man. Like, it's like if they were going to do stuff like that, though, I think the key would be to be appealing to free agents, right? So, like, Vucevic alluded to that today at his press conference. He said, I think this is a place where other players are going to want to play. Karnišov has talked about it publicly after the press conference, was that they want the Bulls to be a free agent destination. I think that that was a big reason why they did the Vucevic trade, and I think it's a reason why you can't really relitigate the Vucevic trade in the present. You kind of got to see how this trade is going to impact how the franchise is viewed league-wide, and that could take a few years to, you know, to see how that happens, basically, until Vucevic's contract expires. So these are all big things, I think, hanging over the team. And it's just interesting because they don't have, like, an obvious move to make, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they don't. But, again, the Vucevic trade, we didn't really – Pete saw it coming. He predicted that. Not many other people saw that trade coming. So maybe they'll come out of nowhere. And I guess in the NBA, like, stuff changes very quickly. Guys get upset with their situations. Guys ask out. Things, like I said, things change like that. And maybe, again, even though the Bulls aren't really maybe in a situation where, in terms of making trades, like another huge trade, maybe not. I mean, they do have, again, they do have Patrick Williams and Kobe White as pieces. And, like, they do have trades or pick draft picks, like, way down the road that they can offer up still. So, like, maybe if they can get in on something like that, that's a possibility. I think they could play the cap space game in 2022. I think a lot of people have turned to 2022. Like, this offseason was, like, supposed to be all big like free agency class, and that didn't happen. But I feel like that has kind of flipped over to 2022 now. And I already brought up Beal. Let me look at the Bulls cap situation right now for 2022. Because obviously this year it's kind of – we talked about that already. Yeah, I mean, I guess they really – I mean, obviously Zach you think will be on the books, but besides that, it's like it's clean. You have Vooch, whose contract is descending, remember that, which is another reason why I think that trade is pretty good. Like, he's making $26 million this year, but then only $24 next year, and then $22 million in 2022. So, like, even though he'll be, what, 32, 33 by then, like, I think his game should age decently well. Like, he's just a super skilled player. He's big. He's not really, like, reliant on athleticism or anything like that. So, like – him making like $22 million in 2022-23, I think will probably be a bargain
super
deal.
Super team friendly deal.
Yeah, super team friendly, and then you'll have Zach probably on whatever big contract he's got, and then like I mean you have Patrick Williams, you still have Kobe White if you have him around, and then the rest of the books are pretty clean. Like obviously, who knows if Troy Brown Jr. will be a long term piece? We'll see what they do this offseason with guys. I mean maybe they just try to do like one, like if they don't make any long-term deals this offseason, like maybe they try to keep the books clean for 2022 and you make a run at Bradley Beal or some other guy that might be available. I'd have to look at the actual list of guys who might be available in 2022, but I mean, I guess that is an option where if you make some moves on the margin for next season, and you hope the full year with Vooch and Zach just leads to more wins and you're a playoff team, and then you attract another big name in 2022. I mean, I think that is a decent option. I know we just talked about how we think they're going to change over a lot of the roster, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be big changes. It's just like they could just mean getting rid of a lot of the garbage pieces and bring in like better stuff on the margins, and that can really help you if you just try to become a better team, get to the playoffs, show that you should be a place where guys want to play, and then maybe you get a third star in 2 years from now. I mean, I don't think that'd be the worst, I guess, route to take.
Yeah, if they were going to do that, I'd like to see them, if there was any way they could, like, get Lowry.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what Lowry is going to command on the open market. I bet he probably gets at least 2-3 years, I would guess. You know, his market will be super fascinating, I think, but he's still a really effective player. Would be nice if they could get a short-term option, I think, that sort of aligns with Vucevic's contract. So like, Vucevic has 2 more years on the team left. You might as well align yourself with that and then extend Zach even further.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And, yeah, Lowry probably – he's, what, 35 now? I think we talked about this last time. Like, I could see him doing a big 2-year deal with an option on team on year two. So maybe like a 2-year 50. I think he's making 30 this year. I don't know if he's going to make like 30 a year again, even if it is a short-term deal. But, yeah, 2 years, $50 million. So, like, I guess if you want to go the cap space route and throw Kyle Lowry a huge contract, a huge short-term deal, and you roll with Lowry, Vooch, and Zach next year, I mean, he'd obviously bring toughness, solid defense. You'd have to fill out some other parts because I think you'd in that situation, you'd probably be losing Thad, losing Sato. losing.
Is there any chance you think he could have like a CP3 like effect? Like, I know that their games aren't really similar just from that perspective, but the Bulls did have such a huge need for what Kyle Lowry could bring to the team.
I mean, it's healthy. He is still very good. I know, like, his numbers aren't like super impressive, but like, he just does so many things that help you win games. Again, he's a grinder. He's a winner. He can hit. He's not afraid to take big shots. He's a smart player. I would not say on the level of CP3. Like, CP3 is like literally playing at an MVP level still. Like, Lowry's probably right. A tier or two below that. But like, I feel like the upgrade would be pretty huge. So, I mean, I guess if you have like those three as your best guys, and then you still have Kobe, you still have Pat, and you fill out with some other, like Troy Brown probably, if you fill out with some other guys around the roster, that's a team where you would expect them to win. I think, again, you'd expect them to win mid-40s, as long as you stay relatively healthy, maybe even better. I don't think it's a terrible option. I would at least look into it, but we'll see. I mean, like I said, we didn't see the Vooch trade coming. Maybe we won't see what's going to come this offseason. I'm excited, though. Like I said, the expectations should be raised. I don't think, like, I know people are concerned about, like, championship stuff, like, and all that. Like, I mean, we shouldn't really be thinking about that at this point. I know that's the ultimate goal, is how do you figure out how to win a championship at this point. But, like, the Bulls have been so shitty for the last 4 years. I mean, again, I think they are the worst team in the NBA over the last 4 years since they traded Jimmy Butler. They got to get to a point where they're respectable first before we're thinking championship. And, like, you bring in a guy like Lowry, if you did that, or you bring in another really good veteran – some veteran players, and you get to the point where you win 40-some games next year, maybe you win a playoff series or at least compete in a playoff series, and then you hope you make that next big move after that, and then that's how you get into, like, legitimate contender status. Maybe this is all pipe dream stuff. We're just looking for something here. For crying out loud, like I said, the Bulls have been so shitty now for 4 years. We just want to watch some good basketball again. Like, I don't like the title or bust, like, mentality in general. I want to see them be good. I want to see them be fun. Obviously, to become a title contender, a lot of times you need a lot of luck involved. And just get them to be good, and then maybe you get lucky and they get in title contender status sometime in the next few years. I wouldn't count on it, but you never know what can happen. A lot of things can stuff can change in the NBA really fast.
In terms of the lottery, I know that a lot of people were really upset that their odds decreased yesterday. My mindset with this is that the Bulls are losing the pick. So I know, like, it would have made sense to lose the game, mathematically increase your odds. But I just think that that pick is gone. Or, you know, they did move up last year when they hired Kardashevich. So maybe Kardashevich, if he could move up twice in a row, that would just really totally change.
That would help.
Everything. That would change everything, and they could land a top four pick in this draft, which I just don't expect. And I'm not even going to be, like, super invested in the lottery from the Bulls' perspective, in my opinion, because my expectations are zero. If I'm pleasantly surprised, cool. Definitely not counting on it.
Yeah, maybe. What is that, the hope that, like, them not trying to lose last night's game, maybe the basketball gods will bring some karma to them again, some good karma, and they'll get lucky again. Yeah, if they actually did get lucky and they moved up top four and they kept that pick, I mean, obviously you can you can draft a really good player that maybe is that, like, turns into that other superstar you need. Again, that doesn't really match up with the timeline you have right now. But if you keep that pick, you can then trade it after the draft. They couldn't trade it before the draft, I believe, but I believe they could trade it after the draft. And, I mean, maybe that could help get you that big third star that you need. It really would be helpful for that to happen. But, again, the odds are against them, 80% chance that they lose it. Again, and as we did say, like, if they losing, like, the eighth or ninth pick is kind of whatever. We've seen the Bulls pick in that area for a while now. It just really hasn't worked out. It's one of the reasons why I was totally fine with the trade and still am fine with the trade. It's like, just like playing the draft game after a while just sucks. And, like, unless you're really bad and, like, you should be tanking, like, I just don't like – I mean, the draft of the game could just be a pain in the ass. You're in a spot where you're picking not top five and you're picking, like, outside – or, like, whatever, not the top picks, and you end up picking – guys that end up being a bunch of role players, and you just kind of cycle in this like same spot. So that's why I was totally fine with that.
For sure. The last eight draft picks before Pat, we've read off this list before, yeah, just makes me not feel very attached to that idea of a draft pick. It's okay to trade a future first-round draft pick. I believe that to be true. So what is interesting, though, is that it's just another asset lost for a potential trade.
Yeah.
So curious, if you could have one pick back, would you want the 2021 pick or the 2023 pick if you can only get one of those back? I guess my thought process on this is that by 2023, the team could potentially be a lot better. So this pick might be more valuable just in the sense that it's a lottery pick.
I'd say probably this one also because, like, I'm just not patient. I'd like to have this one just to have it. Because it could be high, and you could use it in that trade, like, right now. And like not just a lack of patience. Probably would rather just have this.
It would also be nice to be able to use the 2023 pick two is a trade piece, you know? Like,
they use it to get another star level player, so you gotta give up some stuff to get stuff. But I don't know. We will see. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we haven't really covered. Again, a bunch of the guys talked today. I know Zach talked about having Kobe and Pat working out with him in like Seattle or LA, so that was good for them. Do some team bonding stuff. Again, AK didn't really say much today. Lowry did not talk to the media, but then he talked to Casey Johnson, did an interview. Go check that out. Again, the way he was talking, he wants to go get paid and play big minutes. That's peace. Lowry is probably what I'm saying there. I think that's about it. This is another disappointing year of Bulls basketball. Not quite as miserable as the last few. Obviously, the Jim Boylan years were a joke. The first year after Jimmy trade had like one good week, but of course that like ruined them their chances of getting like Luka Doncic. And then the Boylan years were terrible. So like this year saw there was some improvement. It wasn't all bad. Again, Zach was awesome. Thad Young was awesome. They traded for Nikola Vucevic. You can argue, we will argue for a long time, for a while now, the merits of that trade. We'll see in the next couple of years how it works out. But I guess just the bottom line is, like, I'm not feeling terrible about the Bulls right now. Like, I'm feeling okay, again, slightly optimistic moving forward. I think that I'm not, like, totally down. We've been so cynical, obviously, on this pod for a while, I mean, the last couple of years. And I don't know. I'm feeling just a little bit better. Like, we were so psyched about the trade. Ricky, go ahead. I can see you're eyeing. You want to say something.
Well, I'm just going to say that, hopefully when we look back at the kind of show that was there 5 years from now, and we'll think back to this first year, we will say, this is the year the Bulls stopped being an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Garpax was gone. Jim Boylan, long gone. And the Bulls actually did acquire another all-star level player. LaVine went from a question mark in terms of if he would be here long-term to totally establishing himself as a foundational piece. The Bulls, I think, are set up for a better future going into this offseason than they have been in any of the previous offseasons since they traded Butler. So hopefully at this point, the Bulls are no longer an embarrassment league-wide. Now, that isn't a high bar to clear,
No. And
they still have a ton of work to do, and they're basically going to have to get creative to do it. They're not going to pull off a move like the Nets did, where they just acquire Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant over the offseason. That isn't going to happen to the Bulls. The Bulls have to get creative. They hope to be, I think, long-term, a franchise that can compete for the top tier of free agents. But to get to that point, they are going to have to make a lot of short-term gains. And 31 and 41 is just not good enough. Net rating said they were the 20th best team in the league. All right, sure, they're the 20th best team in the league. That's not exactly
mediocre slash bad.
Really hang your hat on.
Yeah.
Right. So there are some good vibes. They have a long way to go. And we'll really see what happens. Like, this is going to be the ultimate test to Karnes Chavis. Like, up to this point, he's obviously made the big move for Vucevic, but he totally sat out the last offseason, which I still sort of disagree with. Like, Markkanen's trade value was probably better coming into this season than it is after this season, right? Thad Young's trade value, however, is significantly better this season than it was after his first season with the team. So, you know, what Karnišovas has done to this point, I think, is defensible for sure. The Bulls are not exactly on a track to be a really, really super good team yet. It's possible they could become that with the foundation of Vooch and Levine. But, you know, unless you really think that Patrick Williams is going to be a top 50 player within the next 2 years.
I did want to bring up with that, something that I feel like Billy talked about Patrick Williams today. And it's something we've obviously talked about, just him needing the ball more, him needing to be more aggressive. I mean, it does seem like the way Billy was talking, I mean, just the way Patrick Williams even talked, that they were trying to get him to be more aggressive, and that, like, they're trying to get that out of him. It just seems like he was not ready for that yet.
You know, I just don't really like how everything is framed in terms of aggression.
Sure, yeah.
Because then it all lands on Pat's shoulders, and really it lands on his head, right? So now I feel like when Pat is talked about in those terms, the only thing Pat is missing is aggression. I think Thad Young had a quote today that said, when Thad develops that killer instinct, watch out. Well, now the whole fan base is looking at Patrick Williams, and they're like, does he have the head? Does he have the heart for greatness? Because it's the only piece he's missing. Like, I kind of think that's bullshit. Like, the guy has some obvious long-term upside. He has some unique physical talent, and he has, I think, some latent skills that you could try to develop. But it's on the organization to put him in the best position to succeed. It's on the organization to develop him to be the best player he can be. So just saying, like, oh, the only thing Patrick Williams is missing is aggression.
That's exactly
like Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I think that that's totally unfair to Pat, who really, like, the Bulls set him up to have a very difficult rookie year. And in my opinion, Pat did about as well as he possibly could.
I think that was a quote. It was either Billy or AK. It's like, you know, like no, we, like, asked, so they said that they asked, like, a lot of him and, like, almost too much of him this season. So, like, yeah, I mean, you nailed it there. Keep going.
Yeah, but, you know, I do think it comes down to the fact that, like, the best way to learn, I do think that it could just be going through it, potentially, just, like, seeing the patterns and stuff on the floor and just, like, learning the speed of the game. That's always a big thing for young players coming into the NBA. When the game starts to slow down for them is when they sort of level up in their careers. So Pat had a crash course in it. I'm not going to say it was definitely the wrong way to use him, but I think that, you know, moving forward into next season, having a more defined role for him, I think, would for sure be good.
Do you think he should be the starting three or four next season?
I would love to see him as the starting four. And that would mean the Bulls would go small and fast around Levine and Vooch. But honestly, dude, if they're going to put Patrick Williams at the four, they almost shouldn't sign a point guard. They should just let Levine and Vooch handle the playmaking and then just try to get two star-level defenders next to Levine and Vooch. Like, when we talk about the Bulls getting a third star, so often we just think of, like, points per game or, like, offensive production, but they should get a defensive star, really, next to Levine and Vucevic, because the defense is, even though the defense finished 12th, it's so crazy that the defense finished better than the offense again this year. And I, you know, I just looked up some numbers here. So after the trade for Vucevic, their offensive efficiency was 22nd in the league. It was 110. The defense was 12th. 111.4 was their defensive rating.
And that kind of just matched up with, like, the full season.
Basically. It really did match up with the full season, yeah. The full season, they were 21st in offense. And, yeah, they were exactly 12th in defense. So, yeah, it totally matched up with the full season. But you got to be thinking the Bulls' offense is finally going to be better than the defense next year, just with Vooch and Levine. But those guys are also going to need to be available for the majority of the season. So their availability is going to be huge next year. That's going to be a big theme. And then get some high-level defenders around these guys. Like, even though they finished 12th in defensive efficiency, I still view the Bulls as having major defensive question marks going into next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's about it. Actually, I just saw this on Twitter, and I wanted to give a shout out to my guy, our guy, former Bull, Tony Snell, who had the first 50-50-100 season of all time. Tony Snell hasn't missed a free throw in like 2 years. He's only taken like 40 some of them since like 2019, but I think he missed a lot of time. So like this was on pretty low volume, but I think he whatever qualifier was out there, Tony Snell hit it 50-50-100. Good shout out to the plus minus god. I mean, like, all these guys, like all these former Bulls, like have kind of been showing out. Like
Portis, incredible shooting numbers.
Portis, yeah, great with Milwaukee. Cameron Payne, incredible backup point guard with the Suns. Yeah. Tony Snell with his 50-50-100 thing. Daniel Gafford, amazing with the Wizards. I saw some stat, I think from, was it Fred Katz who tweeted it? Or it was somebody, it was either Fred Katz or Chase Hughes, about how, like, I think Gafford, since the trade, had more assists from Russ than, like, any player, any Bulls player, like, this season. So, like, obviously just, like, great fit there. I think Doug McDermott's, like, had a decent season for the Pacers. Obviously, this isn't us saying, like, those guys should still be on the Bulls. They mostly all sucked with the Bulls, or they had their flaws. They needed to move on. But I guess kudos to them for going and playing well elsewhere. I think Nikola Mirotic is just still killing it in Europe. I think with Barcelona or Madrid or something like that. All these form, and obviously there's Jimmy Butler, who is still one of the top 10 players in the NBA. But shout out to all these former Bulls bums who got kind of killing it around. So it's kind of fun to see this.
You know, it's an indictment on the Bulls' development process under Garpax, for sure. I mean, that was one thing that Karnishova said, is that they really wanted to emphasize internal development. I'm not totally sure we saw that too much from the Bulls this year outside of LaVine. But, you know, I think that Cameron Payne turning into a great player, too, that probably goes a little bit beyond the Bulls in terms
of. No, that wasn't the Bulls.
Cameron Payne was legitimately terrible with the Bulls, and now he's awesome. It's one of the most feel-good stories of the offseason, of this entire season, I should say. So Cameron Payne in the Phoenix Suns, he's going to be the first guard off the bench, right?
And,
he's been pretty terrific backing up CP3, backing up Booker. So it'll be fun to watch those guys in the postseason. It'll be fun to watch Gafford in the play-in tournament and a lot of former Bulls are going to have big roles, as you alluded to.
Yeah, play-in, so that's exciting. I think the play-in stuff has worked out pretty well. Obviously, it gave the Bulls a chance. We got Lakers-Warriors, which is like a dream play-in matchup. That should be a lot of fun. The Celtics-Wizards one will be very interesting. The Celtics are just kind of reeling, and the Wizards have been on fire. We'll see. I know Bradley Beal is going to try to play. I think those games are tomorrow, Tuesday. Or the Eastern Conference ones are Tuesday. Weston is on Wednesday. Then the playoffs start up this week. There's obviously the other play-in games after that once these first few happen. And then the playoffs start up this weekend. So another year without the Bulls in the playoffs, but playoff time is always super exciting. We'll obviously be paying close attention, be tuning in and watching some of these former Bulls. We'll see how Bobby Portis does in the playoffs. I think he was obviously in the playoffs with the Bulls, but he's in a lot of these guys I just mentioned. They're gonna be playing in the playoffs. So good for them. And it should be exciting. I think that we should wrap it up here. We've been going for a while. Again, full season is over, 31-41, fourth straight year without the playoffs, sadly. But, again, as we talked about this entire pod, some reason for optimism. Bulls will have to get creative this offseason, but I'm looking forward to it. Offseason is always a lot of fun. And now with this core in place with Zach and Vooch, they do have two star players. Hopefully they can build a good roster around them. So we'll see how that goes. The draft lottery is not until, I think, the 22nd, so they're still like a month away from that. So for right now, it's just kind of hanging out here for a while. Obviously, we'll be paying attention to the playoffs, as we said. Bulls stuff will probably be quiet here for a bit. We'll see if there's any rumors that come out about guys like Lowry, about possible Zach extension, stuff like that, any possible moves when the offseason does start. So we'll see about that. We'll be here to talk about it, obviously, but that'll do it for us here today at Cash Considerations, wrapping up this bowl season. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. With the playoffs coming up, if you want to get other great NBA content, so many great NBA pods all across the Blue Wire Network, go check them all out. And of course, we have other great pods as well, not just NBA. For us here at Cash Considerations, please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. Let us know how we're doing. Leave us comments. You know where to find us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_J. Ricky is at SBN_Ricky. So for us here at Cash Considerations, Chicago Bulls Podcast, that is putting a bow on the 2020-21 Chicago Bulls season. We will talk to you guys next time.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.